From national news in D.C.
to behind-the-scenes coverage of the Nebraska Capitol,
this is your Capitol Connection.
And now, bringing the Capitol to you,
here's your host, Nate Graz.
And welcome to Capitol Connection, where we are bringing the Capitol to you every week from the Nebraska Family Alliance Studio in Lincoln, talking about the issues that matter most, family, freedom, and life. We are now just days away from the start of the 2019 Nebraska State Legislative Session, and the state senators will convene in Lincoln at our state capitol and start conducting business in just 3 days on January 9th. This means that the biggest issues affecting you and your family will be decided by 49 state senators, 49 people, deciding everything in our state from property taxes, education, school choice, and religious freedom to gambling, human trafficking, abortion, assisted suicide, and much, much more. We'll talk about what you need to know about the state legislature and what you can expect from our state senators in 2019. It's going to be a great show. But first, a national story from New York City that is making headlines we wanted to talk about, because from now on, a child born in New York City can be given the gender X on their birth certificate. Any child born in New York City can have on their birth certificate that their gender is the letter X. This past Wednesday, for the first time in its history, New York City offered a third option for parents of newborn babies or anyone choosing not to identify as male or female, changing or setting the gender of a birth certificate to the letter X. This new option, which bypasses male and female, became available after a law was signed by New York's Mayor Bill de Blasio in early October that went into effect last week on January 1st. Now, Mayor de Blasio stated that the law allowed citizens the freedom to tell the government who they are and not the other way around, saying, quote, "You be you, live your truth, and know that New York City will have your back. Live your truth." And apparently you can be anything you want to be, even if science and basic human anatomy says otherwise, or you can even choose for an infant child that they are gender X. NPR reported that New York City is now the first municipal government with such legislation. Those living in the city but not born there do not fall under this new law. And this is a nationwide trend. New York is now the fifth state to have such a law, and three states and Washington, D.C. allow gender-neutral driver's licenses. And this is an important reminder of the significance and importance of state sovereignty and states' rights. New York can be New York, California can be California, Arkansas can be Arkansas, and Nebraska can be Nebraska. So this is what's happening in New York City, where you can give a newborn child the gender X, but it could be coming to Nebraska. We have seen similar legislation introduced in very recent years that sought to strike the words husband and wife from wedding ceremonies, as well as getting rid of the words husband and wife, mother and father from all state laws and statutes in favor of gender-neutral terms. So do not be surprised if legislation is introduced this year attempting to do the same thing in Nebraska, allowing people to be given the gender of the letter X on their birth certificate. And when that happens, people have to speak up. Our state senators are down at the state capitol to represent their constituents, so they need to hear from you. Because if they don't, truth will no longer be truth. Truth will be whatever anyone wants it to be, regardless of any basis in fact or reality. And I think that unfortunately, so much of the focus and attention is always on what's happening in Washington, D.C. What is the president doing? What did the president say? What is Congress doing? What did so-and-so say or do in the United States Senate? And there's so much going on with Nancy Pelosi being the new Speaker of the House and the government shutdown. And obviously, the decisions made in Washington, D.C., particularly on national security and federal tax policy, have direct impacts on Americans' day-to-day life. But it is your state government that is going to have the biggest impact on decisions that will affect all of Nebraskans' everyday life and how things look in Nebraska. That's why Nebraska Family Alliance is so intentional about working with lawmakers at the state and local level to make sure that our rights of free speech and religious freedom are protected and every life is valued and cherished. So this is what you need to know about our state legislature that will be convening for the 2019 session on Wednesday morning. So first off, I would be remiss if I didn't mention again that Nebraska is the only state in the entire country with a unicameral, which means we have a one-house legislative system. Nebraska does not have a House of Representatives and a Senate like every other state does. We just have one legislature, one set of representatives that is divided into 49 districts. So Nebraska not only has the only nonpartisan unicameral, we also are the smallest legislature in the entire country. Most states, even states with a smaller population, have hundreds of state lawmakers because you have dozens and dozens of people in the House and dozens of lawmakers in the Senate. And combined, you have hundreds and hundreds of lawmakers. In Nebraska, we only have 49 people making the decision. So you only need 25 votes for a majority to pass a bill into law. Nebraska's unicameral is also unique in that it is nonpartisan. So when you go to the ballot box, like we did in November, to vote for state senators, there is no R or D next to their name to indicate whether they are Republican or Democrat or Libertarian or Independent. There's nothing. It's officially nonpartisan, even though, of course, when things break down and votes are taken, it's very easy to tell which party a certain senator aligns with. But when you run for office in the state legislature, you do not run as a Republican or a Democrat officially. At least on paper, it is a nonpartisan unicameral, which presents some unique challenges in that you have people who campaign as being usually more conservative or more pro-life than they really are to get elected. And then once they're actually down at the state capitol and have to take votes, they're present not voting or all of a sudden more liberal in how they think and vote on these issues than what they campaigned on. So as I mentioned, we have 49 districts, 49 state senators representing each one of those 49 districts. So each senator represents approximately 36,000 residents. So 36,000 constituents in Nebraska to every one state senator. And that sounds like a lot. It's a big number. It's a lot of people for one person to represent. But I can tell you, and we always encourage people, that it truly does make a difference when you contact your state senator. It absolutely does. They don't get that many constituent contacts. If you give their office a phone call or you send them an email, they will talk to you. It gets recorded. Every contact that comes into a senator's office, and you'll usually, if it's an email, will get a personal reply from the state senator, and they don't hear from that many people very often on every single issue. So, I mean, if you or everyone in your family or five friends all called or emailed your senator on one issue or one bill and expressed your opinion and your view and encouraged them to vote a certain way, it makes a big difference. They start to really pay attention when they start getting just a few contacts about a bill that is before the legislature. It's really important that people don't sit idly by on the sideline and just hope that their senator represents them well and votes the right way. You have to let them know who you are and what you do and what you believe in and encourage them to uphold your values in the state legislature. It makes a difference. And this year, Nebraska, our legislature is entering into what is referred to as a long session. Per Nebraska state constitution, the Nebraska legislature has a two-year cycle, which includes one long session and one short session. 2019 is the first year of a new two-year cycle, and therefore will be a long session, which means the legislature will have 90 working days. Not 90 days, not 90 calendar days, but 90 working days. So they start January 9th and will go until the end of May or the first part of June. A short session is only 60 working days, so there's a substantial amount of time difference between that first and second year of a legislative cycle. This is a long session, which means lawmakers have much more time to debate a higher number of bills, which isn't always necessarily a good thing. But the lawmaking process in Nebraska officially begins when a senator introduces a bill into the legislature. They have the first 10 days of session to introduce bills. So the first 10 days is when hundreds, probably upwards of 500 bills, will be introduced in the Nebraska legislature. Every bill that gets introduced is then assigned to a committee, which is generally made up of about 7 to 9 state senators who then first have to consider that bill in committee. And every single bill gets a committee hearing in which anyone from the public can come down and testify in favor or opposition to that bill. The committee that was assigned to the bill after the hearing can then at any time debate or propose amendments to the bill and then vote to kill that bill in committee or send it to the full legislature for debate. Any bill that then makes it out of committee to the full legislature then must go through 3 rounds of voting before it can be signed into the law or vetoed by the governor. And the speaker of the legislature, which is one member who is elected from the state legislature by their colleagues, is the senator who is in charge of setting the agenda each day. So the speaker of the legislature has an incredible amount of authority in controlling what legislation makes it to the floor, because even if a bill gets out of committee, it still has to be scheduled for debate. And with over 500 pieces of legislation, a lot of bills do not ever make it to the floor for debate, even if they get out of committee. So that's how the bill process works. And again, you need 25 votes to pass a bill. However, if there is a filibuster, which is becoming more and more common, we're seeing a record number of filibusters every year, then you need 33 affirmative votes to overcome the filibuster, invoke cloture, which means to cease debate and force a vote on the bill. And 33 is a very high threshold. 2/3 of the body out of 49 senators, it is tough to get 33 state senators to agree on anything. That's actually more votes than you need to override a governor's veto. You only need 30, but to break a filibuster, it takes 33 votes. And so it is much, much easier to kill a bill than it is to pass a bill. The start of a new legislative session also means new faces in the body. The state legislature will have 13 brand new state senators, which is roughly 1/4 of the whole legislature. That is a lot of turnover, a lot of fresh faces, a lot of re-education that has to take place with new senators on this wide spectrum of issues that they will face and have to be knowledgeable about, at least enough to cast a vote. So there will be a lot of change and a lot of new debates and discussions and ideas. So that in a nutshell is the Nebraska legislature, how it operates, how it's set up to function. Now, let's talk about what you can expect specifically in the 2019 session at our state capitol. Well, for one, the first thing that comes to mind is gridlock. Neither side of the political aisle really has enough votes to accomplish much of what they want because of that 33 vote threshold that we talked about. Republicans have a strong majority, but not nearly enough to overcome a filibuster and get the 33 votes they would need to accomplish or pass a lot of the legislation that they would want. So there will unquestionably be a lot of tense debates, a lot of gridlock, and it'll be interesting to see how much compromising both sides are willing to do this session in order to get something or anything done all year. But what really sets the stage for the whole session is actually what takes place on the very first day of the session. This is when the committee chairs are elected by the state legislature. And these votes are incredibly important because committee chairs have a lot of power and influence. They get to schedule when a bill is heard in their committee. Every bill has to get a hearing, but they can make it the first bill out of committee, or they can bury it all the way at the bottom and basically make sure that it never has a chance to get to the full legislature. So committee chairs wield a lot of power, and they will be elected by their colleagues on that first day. And then we will also have entirely new makeups of these individual committees. Senators will change which committees they have been on. We have new state senators joining different committees, older state senators hoping to move onto another committee. And so depending on how all of that shakes out will determine what does and does not get accomplished this session, as well as probably going to be a good indication, depending on which senators win some of these races, how willing the body is to work together and what kind of session we can expect. So day one, January 9th, is a very important and very revealing day for the state legislature. But now I want to talk about the issues. What specifically is going to dominate this year's session? What's going to be considered that are really the most important issues for faith and family values? And number one, we know that we can expect another tense and fierce debate on the issue of Title X taxpayer funding of abortion providers. This year, for the first time, Nebraska state senators were able to include language in our state budget that was put there by our pro-life governor, Pete Ricketts, ensuring that Title X taxpayer dollars do not go to any provider or clinic that performs or refers for abortion. And this was a major pro-life victory, ensuring that Nebraskans are not subsidizing the abortion industry with their hard-earned taxpayer dollars. And that was the biggest fight of the whole year in the entire legislature. It stopped the budget debate right in its tracks, which is the one constitutional requirement that state senators have to pass a budget. This issue creates a lot of division, but it's also the issue that Nebraskans are the most passionate about, and it's not an issue that we can afford to get wrong. That will be up for debate again this year, and you can find out all of the information about this subject, how it works, and why you should contact your state senator and encourage them to support that pro-life Title X taxpayer funding language in the state budget to protect unborn human life and protect taxpayer dollars. And by the end of those first 10 days, when all of the bills have been introduced, we'll see some other pro-life policies that have been brought forward that will make for really important opportunities for Nebraska to be a voice for the unborn and defend innocent human life. We also know that there will be another major debate about school choice. Nebraska is actually one of the few remaining states in the entire country that does not have any real school choice options. And there will be a bill introduced, which is about creating a scholarship tax credit. And this bill made it to the floor for debate earlier this year, and that actually marked the first time the Nebraska legislature debated an education choice bill in at least two decades. And it's coming back this year in 2019. And it's an incredibly important issue because everyone knows a child's education is foundational to the success that they will have later in life. It's in the child's best interest to learn in environments and through programs that meet their individual needs. Parents know this. Too often, though, parents are unable to seek or obtain the education that's the best fit for their child because of financial barriers. The Opportunity Scholarships Act would enact a tax credit for private donations to nonprofit scholarship-granting organizations to help low-income families find the best school and best educational fit for their child. So it's important. I have to say, this bill does not divert any money away from public schools. It's about incentivizing private donations to scholarship-granting organizations to specifically help low-income families. And the fact is, parents should have more control of their child's education than the government. Different kids have different needs, and different students do better in different learning environments. This isn't a public school versus private school debate or battle. It's about the individual needs of children and what is best for them, and allowing the parents to have a greater say in their child's education rather than the state government, and ensuring that every child has the opportunity to reach their God-given potential, and that their future success is not limited or determined by their zip code. Providing this scholarship tax credit provides a valuable incentive for private donations to scholarship-granting organizations to help more children in need get the best education possible. Right now, it is difficult for low-income families to have their children's educational needs met, and it's critical that we get school choice in Nebraska to help give parents the freedom to control the education of their own children, and private scholarships help meet this need and provide both parents and students with the educational outcomes they desire. That's what is on the line and will be debated by our state legislature this year. It will be a big battle with the public school and teachers union, but it's an important conversation that we need to have. And again, you can find more information about this subject at our website, NebraskaFamilyAlliance.org. We also know that this year there will be at least one and probably multiple bills that are introduced that sound great in principle and talk about non-discrimination and acceptance and tolerance, but would actually severely negatively impact religious freedom. And this is an issue of first importance because it's our first freedom for a reason. And at first glance, these laws that talk about non-discrimination for sexual orientation and gender identity sound good. And the intentions might even be good. But when it comes to public policy, good intentions aren't good enough. We have to look at the practical implications of these policies. And in truth, these laws represent a real and present threat to the religious liberty and freedom of conscience rights of good Nebraskans. These anti-religious freedom laws impose one view of marriage and human sexuality on everyone, and they force you to either hold this disagree or face punishment by the government for believing in biblical traditional marriage and human sexuality. In other words, any person who believes differently than the government about marriage and sexuality would no longer be at liberty to bow to their primary authority in the public square. They will be forced to either conform to the government's new moral code or suffer the consequences of nonconformity. And there also is no real evidence to suggest that there is any sort of widespread or even just a little bit of arbitrary discrimination against LGBT people in Nebraska. And so really, these laws, instead of being used as a shield against real discrimination, they're used as a sword against people of faith. And this law has been introduced and rejected in Nebraska every year for at least, I think, the last 16 years. But every single year, it gets increasingly more difficult as the public narrative continues to shift. And ultimately, it should never be the goal or objective of government to pick winners and losers and force everyone in society to agree on the most controversial issues of our time. These are big, hefty, difficult issues, but this is what our state senators, your representatives, will be not just considering, but voting on and making policy and law for the entire state. There will likely be a bill introduced to legalize assisted suicide. There will be legislation to address human trafficking. Thankfully, we have made big strides in recent years to better address human trafficking in Nebraska by substantially increasing penalties for both traffickers and buyers, providing address confidentiality for survivors, and expunging prostitution charges from victims' records when the charges were a result of trafficking. And we hope to build on this success in 2019 so that we can put an end to trafficking in our state. These issues aren't going away, and we need people to be engaged to make a positive difference for family, freedom, and life in our state. That's why Nebraska Family Alliance will be at the state capitol every day in 2019, representing biblical values and standing for truth in the public square. But we can't do it alone. We are committed to empowering people with the tools and resources needed to stay informed, take action, and make a difference. If you haven't already, make sure you visit NebraskaFamilyAlliance.org and sign up for our e-network so that you get information and action alerts when the most important issues are coming up for debate, and we'll give you inside information and tips on how to contact your representative and great talking points that you can use to make sure that your voice is heard. Like Nebraska Family Alliance on Facebook to get daily updates, and join the Capitol Prayer Initiative to get the most urgent prayer requests sent straight to your phone when critical votes are being taken at the state capitol so you can be praying with us when we need it the most. It's all available for free at NebraskaFamilyAlliance.org. We'll be back next week with updates and the latest happenings from the Nebraska Capitol and how it will directly affect you and your family, but most importantly, how you can stand with NFA to make a difference so that marriages and families thrive, life is cherished and protected, and religious liberty is affirmed and celebrated. I'm your host, Nate Graz, Policy Director for Nebraska Family Alliance, hoping you'll join us again next week. Thanks for listening to your Capitol Connection.